just before I start reading, I just thought I'd give you a quick overview on what I want to speak on this afternoon. In Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, it talks about the things that accompany salvation. The things that accompany salvation. And so my little exercise for this afternoon's meeting is really to think about devotion and our communion, our communication with the Lord. So to that end, we're just going to take four very short readings. Psalm 119 and verse 11. 119 verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Down to verse 105, please. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now come over to Philippians, please, in chapter 4. Philippians in chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Our final reading in 1 Thessalonians, please, in chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. We're going to read verses 16 to 18. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The Lord always blesses the reading of his word. As we just think a little bit of this topic of devotion, I want to think a little bit about our relationship with the Lord. Our relationship with the Lord is really one of the most important things that we actually need to protect in our lives. 1 Corinthians 13, though I, and insert whatever you like, though I do this, though I be that, if I have not love, I am nothing. The Ephesian believers, they had left their first love, haven't they? And yet to the outward or casual observer, as they visited that assembly, everything looked perfect. They were going through all of the functions of the assembly, they were doing their outreach and they were doing their prayer meetings and their breaking of the bread, and they were meeting and gathering and they were doing all of that, but they'd left their first love. And the Lord felt left out when he was writing to the Laodicean church, didn't he? You know, I was thinking of the Lord. He spoke to his disciples and he said, if you love me, if you love me. When was that he said that to them? It wasn't when he called them from the boat or from the receipt of customs or as he was walking past. No, this was in John chapter 14. This is after 3 years together, 3.5 years, following him as his disciples. This is after that situation earlier in John's gospel where many of his disciples, they got discouraged and they went and left from following him. And he turned to the 12 and said, well, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And that's the ones that he turned to say, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. What about Peter in John chapter 21? Simon, do you love me? The first time it was, do you love me more than these? And you can put your own thinking on these. Was it more than the other believers, more than the other disciples loved me? Was it more than the things that he had gone back to in those few days? We all have those days and those weeks, don't we, where we just need the probing question of the Lord to come to us, do you love me? We just need to be challenged in our love for him and in our devotion. You know, Christianity, there's a lot of talk about commitment, isn't there? will you commit to this and will you commit? And, you know, I was thinking as I was thinking about that, Christianity is so much more than our commitment or priorities. It's our personal relationship and devotion with the Lord. You know, when we think of the thought of commitment, as a parent, we talk about commitment, don't we, to our children? They sign up for something. They sign up for a sports team for a term. They sign up to an extracurricular activity. 3 weeks in, oh, Dad, do I have to? You signed up. You've got to show commitment. You knew what you were doing. You've got to see it through. But you know, that's not what we talk about whenever we talk to our children about the meetings. We never use the word commitment. We use the word priority. Priority. It becomes a priority because it's something that we make an emphasis and a priority on in our lives. And so that's what I just want to think about a little bit, is our devotion and our priority with the Lord. You know, if you look at any of the major English dictionaries, the thought of the definition of devotion is loyalty, love, or care for someone or something. And we want to think a little bit about our love and our devotion to our Lord and our Saviour. It's a personal relationship, isn't it? It's a personal relationship. Me and my Lord, or my Lord and I. You know, when we read in Psalm 110, verse 3, it says, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." And that's what the Lord wants from us, is a willingness, isn't it, in our devotion. Can we just take it a little bit away from myself and my Lord and put it into the context of a human relationship, specifically around the thought of marriage? There's got to be that communication, doesn't there? There's got to be that devotion and that love. You know, I had the privilege of knowing my wife. We lived two hours apart. There was family holidays. There was shared conferences. But I can look back to a specific night when we started to communicate. Can I say it like that? We started to get to know each other. And cultural differences aside, as to when that happens, before or leading up to, and etc., from the actual marriage itself, but those things aside, there needs to be that communication. And that's what we want to try and bring into our thought of our devotion with our Saviour. If my communication with Joe was centered all around what I want or what I like or what I need, and if there was nothing of what I appreciate about who she is, about her desires and her plans, no appreciation of what she does, then it becomes a very self-centered and rudely selfish love, doesn't it? And that's what we just want to think a bit and challenge our hearts just for the next 5 minutes as I overlay that thought with my relationship with my Lord. Is it a one-sided relationship? You know, what did God make you and I for? Isaiah 43 tells us that He created us for His glory. "I created you for my glory," He said. What's the accusation of the unbeliever? Romans chapter 1. They did not glorify God. They changed the truth of God, and they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. What are we instructed to do as Christians? In everything you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10 and 31. Whatever you do, in eating and drinking, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So how do we live in such a way that glorifies God without first knowing Him and what that looks like? And so we just want to think about how we can get to know our Lord and our Saviour a little bit more. Matthew 11, verse 29, sorry. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. And so we just want to think a little bit about the reading of the scriptures and praying. Two things that we should do and prioritize in our life. Communication. Read his word. Don't just read it for the sake of checking a box. Yes, I've read a paragraph, a verse, a chapter. Yes, I can tick that off and go on with my day. Read to learn. Read to know. Read to understand. And read to obey. And pray. Dear friend Jim McMaster, he put it like this. The desire to pray is more important than being good at praying. I love that when he said that. The desire to pray is more important than being good at praying. Did you know that one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit is to take our thoughts, our feeble thoughts that we struggle to put into context, and to lift them up before the throne of grace? He helps us in our infirmity. We oftentimes don't know what to say. We don't know how to express it, do we? And yet he does that. And so I just read these four selected verses. There's so many verses that we could have pulled from. And I want to summarize it with four little thoughts. And they all start with the letter G. I want to think of our guidance. That was Psalm 119, verse 5, isn't it? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. I often use that one in the gospel. And I use it like this, that the lamp is just illuminating. If you think of the candle in the day in which it was written, it's illuminating just where I need to show to take the next step. And God's word's like that, isn't it? But it's also a light unto our path. It shows us our future. And as we read the scriptures and learn more of our Saviour and more of our God and more of his wonderful plan for us, and as we communicate with him and he communicates with us through prayer and through the reading of the scriptures, we can understand a little bit more to take that next step, and we can appreciate as we look on ahead to where our path leads us and all that is before us and the wonder of the fullness of our salvation. So we can think of guidance. You know, it should, just in that context, it's, I don't actually have time for a diversion. You think of the nation of Israel. They were desperate to know what was ahead of them, weren't they? Can we send spies in? Can we go and search it out? We just want to know. And it tripped them up, didn't it? It led to unbelief. God allowed them, a whole generation did not come into the blessing of God for them. Not only guidance, I was thinking of, it's a guard to us, it's a protection, a guard. And that was Psalm 119, verse 11, wasn't it? Thy word have I hid in my heart, that it might preserve me, that it might protect me, that I might not sin against thee. That's really the opposite of bringing him glory, isn't it? So feeding on God's word, And allowing us to just go back to it in those moments throughout the day to think upon it. And there's a word that is used, it's called meditate. And that is to go back randomly throughout the day and you just think about that, and the Spirit will just give you some thoughts, and you might link through another verse that you'd read a few weeks ago, and you'll just connect these few little thoughts together in your mind, and it'll just draw out that thought of thanksgiving and joy as you appreciate your Saviour more. To guide, to guard. But I thought of godliness, and we didn't actually read this one. Psalm 28, verse 1, unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. I just thought of that in relation to the fact that if we don't communicate, we go cold. If we don't communicate, if there's not that connection, then where is the love and the warmth and the affection and the growth going to be? And so We just need to preserve that, don't we? And we need to communicate. But what about gratitude? And that's why I took us to Philippians and 1 Thessalonians. I just wanted to bring those few thoughts in there that, you know, sometimes, and I've been guilty of it, sometimes our prayers can be a little bit like a wish list, can't they? Lord, as I face today, here's the problems that I see, here's the help that I think I'm going to need, and this is what I would like. You know, this, and I go back to my thoughts about the relationship within a marriage. If all my communication is self-centered, then it's not a healthy communication, isn't it? It's not a healthy relationship. And the Lord wants that from us. He wants us to rejoice. He wants us to pray without ceasing. He wants us to overlay all of our requests with thanksgiving. He wants us just to lay our anxieties at His feet. And He wants us to leave them there so that He can just minister the peace of God to us that passeth understanding. To guide us, to guard us for godliness and for gratitude. You know, if you want a vibrant and thriving relationship with your Lord, just spending a little bit of time each day in His Word and praying with Him. Not as a checkbox exercise, done this, done that, I can move on with my day. But just that desire, like Psalm 110, that thy people shall be willing, a desire, a priority. You know, life is busy. There's going to be pressures. You sit down, I was saying to the believers in Timaru just recently, you sit down and pick up your Bible to have a read. And it's not long before the doorbell rings or this thing chimes to distract you. Maybe it's the little one coming and needing breakfast. We've all been there at different stages in our lives, haven't we? And the pressures of life and the things, but we just need to find that priority just to communicate with our Saviour. It'll just have two benefits to us, won't it? Just in summary, your closeness to God and your character. Your closeness to God and your character. I'll just leave it there. Just a few thoughts to try and encourage us. Things that accompany salvation. Things that